And then there was an inevitable question. Mary Ann Means asked it, about his plans for 68. Would you end all the speculation for us and tell us if you intend to run in 68? And if Hubert Humphrey will be your running mate? It was like a play. This was one of the big lines, and the audience was very quiet. Lyndon rose to it like a good actor. I am not ready to make a decision about my future after January of 1969 at this time. I think down the road and so forth. And then glowing words about Hubert. He was very much in charge throughout, and it never showed more than when they began to question him about his critics on Vietnam, hoping, I'm sure, for some expression of bitterness or hostility. They got a very soft answer. I'm just not in a position to know how much information each critic of my policy in Vietnam happens to have. I might say it seems obvious to me that some of them do need more information sometimes. A mild laugh rippled across the room. And then it was over and he took my arm. I threw him a congratulatory look with my eyes, which I meant to be all balm and velvet. We rushed out between the massed lines of reporters with Joe Califano and Jack Valenti, Jake and George Christensen in our wake. Upstairs, we went through the postmortem, always one of the most interesting half hours. We all felt pretty elated, I think. Sometime when Lyndon was out of the room, Jack used the expression in describing Lyndon's years as president. This was a quote from somebody else. I wonder who. Never has one president done so much and ignited so few. But will the doing be recorded in history? That is one of today's puzzles that I hope to live to see tomorrow give an answer to. Or does it matter if you get the job done, whether you get the recognition? I think it does, because you don't have the fuel to continue getting the job done without the momentum of success. More fittings in the afternoon and desk work. I'd called Ed and Alice Weisel to ask them to spend the night with us so that we could have a good talk before or after we went to the dinner for the Democratic National Committee. They couldn't, but they would be by for the visit. I wore my gold Ayub Khan evening dress, which Molly Parnas had made up, and joined them in the West Hall a little past 7:30. Lyndon was late, and we had almost an hour's visit, notifying the people at the dinner, meanwhile, that we'd arrive in time for the speech. It was a comfortable and happy time. Ed is one of our oldest, our truest friends, and we slipped easily into talk of today and its problems against the background of more than 20 years of facing them together. But it was not I who can take the credit for remembering to ask them to spend the night. Last night, Jack Valenti had reminded us that they would be here for the dinner and how good it would be if we could have a little private time together. I said, let's ask them to spend the night. That's always one of our best ways for a quiet visit here. Talk ranged from Bobby and New York politics to Angela and the delights of grandparenthood. Lyndon came a little before 9 and had one quick drink and then jumped into his tux. He changes like lightning. And then we were all off to the Washington Hilton, where as we marched through the crowd to our table, they were all round tables and ours was in the middle. We saw old-timers like India Edwards and Gladys Tillett and Jim Farley, and a satisfying representation of the younger face of the Democratic Party. Texas beautifully represented by B.A. Benson. And in Frank Irwin's absence, there was a Board of Regents meeting today, and that commands the highest loyalty. Bill Davis was standing in. Lyndon gave a quiet, adequate, ordered speech, and then put his script down and launched into a very warm, personal, rousing, off-the-cuff talk that did more in a few minutes to give spirit, spark, for the gathering than any prepared speech would. It was a great performance. What a day this has been for him. A tour de force. A big meeting this morning with Rusk and McNamara and Fowler and McCloy. Congressional Medal of Honor to a Negro private. The press conference. Lunch with labor leaders. The press conference, and now this. But he feeds on it up to a point. He had asked the Wassermans and the Krims to come back to spend the night at the White House with us. A little past 11, four couples of us wound up in the West Hall over a nightcap. I mixed the drinks and had as pleasant an hour as I remember. The sort that seals friendships where exchange of opinion flowers. My only regret was that I forgot to say to Lou Wasserman a special thank you for the painting they gave. That hangs in the red room. Close to 1, the Weisels left, and the Wassermans and Krims went upstairs to bed. The old house was full tonight, with Sam Houston in Lucy's room, and Marietta Brooks up in 303.
example?
I thought of what Jack Valenti had said about igniting so few, and I thought with satisfaction that at least this dinner group tonight had caught on fire.